Helen Dangle sits in her office at the Sitka Tribe of Alaska Resource Protection Building. The fisheries biologist is dressed like one. She wears a white lab coat and looks at slides through a microscope. She's got a sample from a butter clam in Stargavin Estuary. I peer closely around the grains of sand.
Oh, I see the pearl.
Oh, those are...
three of them there.
Oh, yeah, I see them. They're tiny. Pearls about a millimeter in size. So small you can barely see them with the naked eye. So probably not worth much. But that's not what she's trying to show me.
Oh, I see a hair. Is that a microplastic?
It is. As the name suggests, they're minuscule pieces of plastic debris littering the world's oceans. Consumed by fish and wildlife, microplastics could have unhealthy consequences. The research into health effects from ingesting microplastics remains inconclusive, but nobody's saying it's good. That's one reason why Dangle and fellow researchers have spent the past year collecting samples of two species, butter clams and blue mussels, looking for microplastics in the mollusks. In partnership with Mount Edgecombe High School and University of Alaska Southeast, they've collected samples from Stargavin Estuary in 2018. There's been a nationwide backlash against one major source of plastic pollution, plastic bags. And cities in Alaska like Wasilla, Soldotna, and Cordova have banned single-use plastic bags. Anchorage moved to ban them last year, though the rollout's been delayed. Sitka flirted with the idea of a fee on plastic bags, though the assembly postponed action indefinitely. Dangle explains that plastic bags do break down over time, but they don't really go away.
The idea is that most microplastics are from larger pieces that are floating around in our environment. Yeah, it is plastic bags and bottles that break down.
After researchers collected the shellfish, they returned to the lab, measured the clams and mussels, and then separated their bodies from their shells.
What we did was we used potassium hydroxide to chemically digest the soft body tissue.
They put the flasks in an incubator shaker for 24 hours to accelerate the chemical digestion process.
The samples, once they're incubated, they turn into a yellowish fluid, and we filter those out onto small filter circles that we can examine under a microscope.
They discovered that in both samplings, all of the butter clams and most of the mussels contained microplastics. Dangle says that the majority of the microplastics they found weren't plastic fragments, they were microfibers. They look like tiny hairs, synthetic hairs. So where are they coming from? Dangle says they're likely coming from synthetic fabrics like polyester or nylon. And how did they get into the ocean? It could be Sitka's dirty laundry.
When we wash our clothes here in Sitka, where does it go? It goes from the laundry wastewater into our wastewater system through our pipes. It goes over to the sewage treatment plant and it's treated, but they're not able to filter out those really small fibers, so it just goes right into our ocean.
Dangle says there are products on the market that collect microfibers to reduce pollution in the water supply. Microplastics are found everywhere, in both farmed fish and wild stocks caught in Alaska. She says it's not a reason to stop eating wild seafood.
If we stop eating our local salmon, are you going to go buy a steak that's higher in saturated fat and not as good for you?
But with Alaskan seafood marketed as some of the most pristine wild-caught in the world, the research showing microplastics in shellfish is troubling. The next step, Dangle says, is to examine other species, like salmon. But for now, she hopes her research will make people more mindful about synthetic fibers, because microplastic pollution that goes down the drain doesn't really go away. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.